Christ comes into our fear before we have any understanding of it. Now, we've read this passage from the other side of Easter. We know the story, the tomb is empty, Jesus has risen. We know what these appearances mean. So it's perhaps easy for us to look at the disciples and think, how are they still afraid and unbelieving? But they weren't reading it. They were inside of this. They had seen Jesus arrested. Their hope had collapsed. They had seen the violence of the cross. So then imagine the room. The doors are shut. The voices are low. Everything feels uncertain. No one quite knows what to believe. And underneath it all, an undercurrent of fear. Fear of what's to happen. Perhaps a lingering fear of being associated with Jesus. Some have said the tomb is empty. Some have said they've seen him. They don't know what to believe. The room is heavy with shock, and they're trying to understand something that is too big for them to comprehend. And then suddenly, Jesus is standing among them. No knock, no warning, no going through the door even. He's there. His presence is among them. And the first words he speaks is, "Peace be with you." He doesn't begin with correction. He doesn't begin by giving instruction. He doesn't even say, "Come on, I told you, you should understand this by now." He doesn't scold them for being afraid. He speaks peace over them. And that alone is worth sitting with, because sometimes we imagine Jesus meeting our fears with disappointment. We might imagine him saying, "Really? That same sin? Are you still afraid? Are you still anxious? Are you still not trusting me properly?" But that is not what he's doing here. He speaks peace into the very room where fear is present. And that means we don't have to pretend to be steadier than we are. And this is one of the first applications of this passage. We do not have to perform spiritual composure before Christ. We do not have to come before him pretending to be something we're not. And Luke is very honest when he writes in the disciples' reactions. Their first response is not joy or worship. They are startled and frightened at what they see before them. And we can take from that that faith doesn't mean we never tremble or that we'll never feel a bit disoriented with what we're going through. Faith means that even in the room where fear is present, the risen Christ is present too. His first word is peace. And the original word used here carries a whole weightiness of the idea of wholeness, of restoration, of things being set right. It's more than just a soothing, comforting word. It is Jesus declaring the reality of what his death and resurrection have accomplished. Peace with God, peace in the presence of fear, peace that brings peace beyond our understanding. We often make the mistake of waiting for peace to arrive before waiting for peace to arrive and then everything making sense. Once I understand why this happened, then I'll be at peace. Or we might say, once the situation has changed, then I'll be at peace. Once I know what comes next, then I'll be at peace. But that's not what Jesus is showing in this passage. He doesn't give a full explanation first. He gives himself. And there are seasons that we don't understand and seasons that we won't understand. There are times when life feels like a half-read sentence and we're just waiting for the completion. Many of us are in the middle of a story. We cannot see where the line is going. There are so many options. And it's in those moments that Christ doesn't say, you may have peace once you understand everything. No, he says, my peace be with you. And that is here. He's saying that now. He's saying it in the room you're in. With the questions we have, with the fears we have, with any and all uncertainty. And so the first invitation this morning is to receive his peace before we have all the answers. And that's not because the questions or the pain doesn't matter, but because peace is found in not in our ability to explain everything, but in the presence of the risen Christ. And after speaking, Jesus says, why are you troubled? Why has doubt arisen in your mind? Look at my hands, my feet. It is I myself. In this moment, Jesus shows his wounds, his hands, his feet, the very marks of crucifixion, the signs of his suffering and the evidence of what was done to him. And it's not a detail for us to miss, because the risen Christ still bears the wounds of the cross. And we might have expected when he rose from the dead that that would be erased. We might have expected that resurrection would mean that the past is wiped away as though it never occurred. But that's not what we're seeing in the passage, because Jesus rises with wounds, glorified, yes, victorious, yes, alive forever, but still bearing the marks of love. And that tells us something essential about our Christian hope, that resurrection doesn't mean denial, it means redemption. God doesn't redeem suffering by pretending it never happened. He redeems it by bringing life where death has tried to rule. Because the cross is not erased from Jesus' story, it is transformed. And it becomes the place where the love of God is most clearly revealed. And when we came to the table earlier, that's what we remembered. Not a vague idea of sacrifice or a general symbol we do every month, but a body given out, blood poured out, wounds born in our love, in love for us. And communion brings us face to face with the cost of peace. Because peace be with you is not cheap. It is a wounded peace, and it is crucified and risen peace. It is peace spoken by the one who has passed through death and come out on the other side. And that matters for us because sometimes we think that maturity in Christianity is saying, I'm fine, when we're really not. Sometimes we imagine that resurrection faith means never admitting grief, never admitting struggle or fear or disappointment. So we try and tidy ourselves up into neat little boxes before we come before the Lord. But the risen Jesus did not hide his wounds. He shows them. The wounds became the way the disciples recognized him. So why do we think we need to hide ours from him? Of course, our wounds are not like his in their saving power. His blood reconciles us to God. But it is because he is not ashamed to show his wounds that we do not need to be ashamed to show ours to him. And some wounds are very visible. Some are hidden. Some are old but still very tender. And some are so fresh that we don't have the words to describe them. And often we do two things. One of two things. We either hide them and bury it and move on, and later in life it hits us. Or we let it define us as though that wound is the truest thing about us. But the risen Christ stands among his people saying, look at my wounds. It's to show us that woundedness is not the opposite of resurrection. In Christ, Wounds can become places of witness, because his redemption is greater. So the second invitation of this passage is to bring those wounds, every wounded place, into the presence of the wounded and risen Christ. We can bring it honestly to him, not hopelessly, because he's really not shocked by our wounds. He is Lord over them. And then after speaking peace and showing his wounds, Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. This is a turning point, because Jesus doesn't only comfort them. He teaches them how to understand what happens. He opens the Scripture and shows them that the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Messiah are not outside of God's purpose. The creation, the cross, was not an accident, and resurrection was not a mere afterthought. The whole story of Scripture has been moving towards this redemption, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, all bearing witness to Jesus. And notice what Jesus is doing here. He's giving a perspective shift, a new way to read the story. Because until this moment, they had been reading the cross through fear. They had been reading it as failure, loss, and the end of hope. But here Jesus opens their minds, and suddenly the same events are understood so differently. The cross was not failure, but fulfillment. And this is where the passage becomes so practical for us, because we also need Jesus to open our understanding, to change our perspectives. Not just that we can understand Bible passages better, although that is certainly needed, but so that Scripture reinterprets every single aspect of our lives and what we've been through. Because if Christ does not open our understanding, then disappointment or failure may interpret our lives. Bitterness may interpret our lives. Other people's opinions or our past may interpret our lives. But when fear says this is the end, Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life." When shame attempts to say to us, "You are disqualified," Christ says, "Peace be with you." Where failure says, "God can't use you, God's finished with you," Christ says, "You are the witness of these things." And this doesn't mean we force easy answers onto painful things. Jesus opened their mind so that they could see the cross in the light of his redemptive purposes. And we need to ask him to do the same for us. We need to take the places we have only interpreted through pain and bring them under the light of Scripture. For him to teach us how to read our lives, our church, our calling, and our future through the truth of who he is and who we are through him. Because without him, we misread the whole story. The disciples looked at the cross, thought everything had ended. But heaven looked at the cross and saw the fulfillment in God's saving plan. And perhaps there are places that are, we too have misread within Scripture. Perhaps we had looked at weakness and assumed, if God can't work there, he can't work in us. Perhaps we've looked at our age, our physical or financial limitations, uncertainty, or areas in our life that we assumed, this can't be used, I can't be used. But the risen Christ opens our understanding. He does not always explain everything we want him to explain, but he teaches us to see differently, to see the wounds through redemption, and to see fear through peace. And this is why we need the word. We do not come to Scripture just for information. We come because we need our minds open, our imaginations healed, even our instincts instincts corrected in line with God. We need the risen Christ to teach us what is true. Otherwise, fear may be preaching to us the whole week, or anxiety, or what we hear on the news, or we may be trapped by our own memories. So the third invitation this morning is to let Christ open your understanding. Let Scripture have the final say over your story, not fear, not shame, but Scripture that is opened by the risen Christ, because that is where understanding begins. And finally, the Scripture turns towards where Jesus says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." You are the witnesses of these things. They are not just reassured, they are sent. They're not allowed to remain in that private room forever, just treasuring their private encounter with Christ, their private encounter with peace. No, the peace they received is to become the peace they carry. The truth that they proclaim as they walk, the forgiveness they have received, is to be announced in Jesus' name. And this is the movement of the passage as the fearful disciples become witnesses. The risen Christ has stood among them. He has spoken peace and shown his wounds. He has opened their minds, and then he sends them. And it matters because our Christian worship is never meant to end with spectatorship. We do not come to the table and read the word simply to observe holy things. We're drawn into them. That's why we're here. We receive and remember. We listen and are transformed. And we are sent, each and every one of us, in every stage of our lives. Because communion and Scripture are not an escape from ordinary life. They prepare us to return to ordinary life differently. We go back, yes, into responsibilities and family tensions, into loneliness and workplaces, difficult relationships, and many unanswered questions in our lives. But we do not go back empty. We go carrying peace. And it may sound simple, but it is so deeply needed, because the world around us is so full of fear, of suspicion of one another, of pressure and uncertainty. And it's in that that Christ sends his people who have heard him say, "Peace be with you." And so what does this look like? It may begin with refusing to pass on fear, with gently speaking to others where everyone else is being harsh. Witness may look like forgiveness or prayer. It may begin with a conversation over a cup of tea, even with saying, "I don't understand everything, but I know Christ is faithful." Because a witness is not someone who has mastered every argument and every comeback. A witness is someone who can testify to what they have seen, what they have read, and what they have heard. Because Jesus does not say, "You are now the expert in all things." He says, "You are witnesses of these things." And a reminder of what these things were: that Christ suffered, that Christ rose, and that forgiveness is proclaimed in his name, that because of that, repentance is possible, and mercy is so real, and that death has not won, and fear does not get the final word in our lives, and that wounds can be redeemed. And so this morning we came to the table, and now we are sent. Not as spectators or people who admire the story and then leave unchanged. We are sent as witnesses. So in closing, the question perhaps we need to ask ourselves and ponder over for the week ahead, is will I receive the risen Christ where I actually am? Not where I think I should be, nor once I've got all my ducks in a row, but here, as I am, in my life right now, as it is, with the fear that is real, with any questions that remain, and the wounds that we would rather hide, which parts of our story do we still not fully understand? Because his invitation to us today is receive my peace. Look at my wounds and trust me with yours. Let me open up your understanding and go as my witnesses. And so we go. We go from here not leaning on our own understanding, not hiding from his presence, because we go as witnesses. Amen. Amen. Amen.